I just have a few points to draw these matters together now. As I say, time has got away, but hasn't been so worthwhile to hear such comprehensive views of the life of the church, what the church is. And that's my connection. What is the church? What is the church? And I'm going to take a verse from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, and Paul says this, Paul the Apostle says this, verse 9 of chapter 3, verse 9 of chapter 3, for we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. How do churches start? Well, if we went to the book of Acts, we'd see an example. In the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul, it says this, after this, Paul left Athens in Greece and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads, I'm innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. So Paul is in one place, he's met people, he's met other Christians, they've tried to work with the establishment in the synagogue, initially with Gentiles and Jews, and then he was able to give his full-time work to ministry amongst the Jews. But they opposed him, and he felt, this is not the place, I've got to leave here. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Now, that reminds me of the situation here in Newtown in 1979. There were Christians here and there meeting in going to churches, but feeling that their spiritual needs were not being met, the word wasn't preached in truth, Christ wasn't necessarily honored and presented as Savior, and a little Bible study started, and then moved this group, went together to start Sunday services. You could almost say left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus. And the Lord provided to have a meeting hall after looking at a number of sites. And like-minded people, believers, met. There was friendship and fellowship in the beginnings of the church. Sunday services then started in 1979, and we moved into this building in 1986. But this passage in Corinthians also describes the church. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, the first thing that is said there in that verse, for we are fellow workers in God's service. And why does Paul say that? Well, he says it because there had been disputes amongst the people of Corinth, some associated themselves, allied with Apollos. There were different preachers, and some said, I'm a disciple of so-and-so, I'm a disciple of so-and-so. And Paul said, No, we are all fellow workers with God. The first thing we need to understand is that there is no competition between church leaders. They're not competing with each other to draw out followers. Leaders can be problematic, there can be envy and ambition, but here it was the followers, it was those who spoke of them. There doesn't seem to be any dispute between Apollos and Paul or anybody else for that matter. But there were those who said, oh, Paul is the one that I was converted under, and he's my father in the faith, and so on. The followers were playing up one leader against another, or playing them off against each other. And Paul says, now look, cut it out. Cut it out, there's no competition. We're working together. We're working, not only are we fellow workers with one another, we're fellow workers in God's service. And in verse 6, we read these words, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. And so these fellow workers, Aquila, Priscilla, Apollos, Paul, how wonderful to see them taking this line. So we look at the church and we see leaders, but Paul says there's something else here as well. You are God's field. Here's a picture of pre-industrial life. A field is your life. It's what you work and you till, you toil amongst the soil, you till the ground to grow, to graze, to plant, to benefit from it. That is your income, that is your life. You plant vineyards or olive groves and so on. And you are God's field. God is working amongst you. He, through the fellow workers, is dealing with the land. He's dealing with your lives. And dear friends, this morning, as we meet and worship and have been meeting now for many years, and as we hear God's word explained to us, the Holy Spirit is present, we trust, to bless and inspire, to correct and to guide, to warn and teach. Are we faithful to that teaching? Are we growing, is the question we ask ourselves. We are God's field. You are God's field. You know, we have such a short span of life. Let's be useful for God. Let's grow for God. Let's work together for God. When this church was built, I prayed there'd be more cars in our car park than in the flying shuttle that was going up opposite. God has been good. It was a silly prayer, perhaps, but the Lord has blessed. We don't grow just in numbers, mind, but we are to grow in grace and love. We're to grow in our missionary interest. We're to grow in our concern for the children and for those around us, to witness and testify, to know the love of God in our hearts, to grow in love towards one another. We are, you are, says Paul, God's field. God's field. You are God's building. You're God's building. Now, you hear very often us saying, the church is not a building. Well, that's true, because the church is not the material structure. It's the church that meets in a building. That's the church. I can say confidently, the church is a building, but that building is you and me and other Christians. It's lovely when you read the theology and you see the different words and names they have, the church visible and the church invisible. Those who have gone to glory, have gone to heaven. The church militant, those people still on earth, and the church triumphant in heaven. The church that has gone through its sorrows and tribulations, to glory, to heaven. And it should be all our ambition to belong to the church militant, to work for it, to be part of it, and to go to that church triumphant in heaven. So the church then is the people, those who have been called and follow Jesus. Ecclesia is the word for church. Ecclesia means called. The called who meet in a particular place. They met in a house, in the house of Stephanus, last chapter of 1 Corinthians. They met in houses. They meet in different places. And we are all part of that church. Universal is another term that is used. And there is only one foundation to this church. And Paul goes on to say in verse 11 that he is trying to be a wise builder. I laid a foundation, but each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's why people were called to meet together. That's why people anywhere and everywhere have been called out of their circumstances and situations to belong to a church, to belong to Jesus, to be those who are saved, forgiven, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He said to Simon Peter, shortly after Peter had declared that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The big question for me and for you is, do I belong to his church? Do I follow Jesus? Do I proclaim Jesus? Is your foundation, is mine, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came in obedience to the will of the Father, lived the only ever perfect life, did not deserve to die, but was prepared to die for you and me, and was taken and crucified on the cross. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And that's right today, isn't it? People speak about everything except the cross. Entertainment, sport, this, that, and the other, that's the interest. The cross, foolishness, something from a time gone by. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And we have a series on wisdom in the book of Proverbs at the moment. And God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. The specific message then is that Jesus is our foundation. The message is the message of the cross, that Jesus died and lives again. In 1 Corinthians 2, I resolve to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Have you trusted in a crucified and risen Saviour? Do we belong to the church? If we do, we shall go to be with Jesus in his church, the church that at the moment is in blueprint. It's gone a bit further than that. The building has started, but it's not yet finished. And our prayer should be that you and I should go there to be with Jesus, be part of that beautiful church, what R.B. Kuyper, the theologian, calls the glorious body of Christ.